It's amazing how you can get to know someone, or you can just, in this case, see them at church, and you never know what's behind that face. You know, someone can make music and is married to so-and-so, and there's the kid, and you know, that kind of stuff. But today, I'm going to find out everything I've ever wanted to know about Vanna Bessinger, and you're going to join me. Hello, Vanna. How are you doing?
Hi, Janine. I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Fine, thank you. So very surprised was I when I received this email that says, Vanna Bessinger has got a brand new song, Reis na Arends. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know you could sing. I've got to find out what you can do. Okay, first, introduce us to Vanna at home. When you've got no shoes on, you've got to impress no one. Who are you there?
I'm quite a bit of a different character than I am at work. So, at home, we all extremely relaxed normally. You know, the best part of my day is in winter to get into my tracksuit, and I've got this pair of incredible leather slippers with wool inside, so nobody knows about that. And then it's nice to make fire in the fireplace and then relax with a glass of red wine and then watch a little bit of TV or playing guitar or reading or whatever. So that's very special times for us at home, you know, specifically now in this lockdown or COVID period. Yeah?
So you like being alone with yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my traits. I can function extremely well on my own with nobody around me and just being creative, you know?
Yeah, that's not how the music industry works, you know. In the music industry, you've got to get out of that lucky comfort zone of yours and get onto stages and make music. But you're actually used to that. Tell us about the rest of what you do in life.
Yeah, it's a bit of a journey. I'm a qualified quantity surveyor, and I worked in the building industry for a few years, and then afterwards I decided to change career because the building industry, obviously anybody that's involved in it, is extremely volatile from a cyclic perspective, economic cycles,
yeah.
And the frustration, you know, being a quantity surveyor and having to work with suppliers that doesn't have stock and that's late, and contractors that's building skew and you've got to break it down. I mean, it was so frustrating, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to building stuff. 23 years ago, I've changed careers. I've been a financial advisor for 23 years now with my own practice. And then part-time, I make music and I build guitar. So that's more or less me in a nutshell.
How does the perfectionism and the music go together? Because that is a very subjective thing. What is done and where you happy now, especially if you want to start creating songs and all of that. Isn't that a frustration sometimes?
Not really. The only frustration that I have with the music sometimes is a lack of knowledge. You know, very often I've got quite a few friends that are professional musicians, and I do a lot of stuff by ear, and it actually made me very lazy, you know, because I can hear stuff and I can hear where the harmonies must go and I can hear chord changes and stuff like that. But very often, if you in a concert environment and somebody just puts a sheet in front of you and say, okay, guys, we've got to go now, you know, I'm in a bit of a rough patch, you know. It's like being on a boat in the middle of the ocean and the waves are getting bigger.
Yeah, because you can't fake that. That is a very specific art, is to read that music and just do it and feel it while you're reading a brand new piece of music. I did UNISA piano, and that was the one place I just couldn't do it. Give me hours and I'll practice it for you till it is perfect, and I can give it to you practiced and with confidence, boldness, because I know what I'm doing. But don't put a brand new thing right in front of me and expect miracles of mine. But these people that you work with, Ivar van Niekerk, I see you know him as well, they practice such a lot. I mean, music doesn't come by itself unless, you know, you're a genius like you.
You know, the nice thing about being a guitar player, as you know, there's a lot of patterns that repeat, you know, and there are a few principles that you just need to apply. So, you know, we just call it, we noodle and we wing it, you know. So very often I can get along if there's a brand new song, you know, we'll follow the root notes and a few little patterns that it'll work. But if you put the chart and say, I must play this specific chord with an add ninth and a plus. Ek weet nie wat so goed alles nie, you know, then sometimes I need to ask my good buddy Luke van Amara to say, listen, just put a few dots there on a few lines and I can just learn the patterns again.
So where does the music come from in your life? Is this now from the parents or the love for music then?
No, it's that is, you know, Janine, for me, music is an absolute holy gift. It's a gift. I'm extremely grateful for that gift, you know. So the first time, I'll never ever forget it. I was in church. I was probably about 3 years old. And we sang a song and I could hear somebody at the back. I've never seen the person. I've never met the person that sang a harmony. It was a tenor. It was I just assume it was an old woman, you know, like a grandpa. And he had this wonderful voice. And I heard the harmony the first time. And I just knew where to sing. I could hear where the harmony, you know, would go to, following the chords and root notes and all that kind of goodies. And from there on, I remember I was in, I think, grade two that I sang my first song in church. And my Sunday school teacher just played the guitar. It was Amazing Grace, by the way. And then later on, you know, my entire life I've been busy with music. At school, I sang in the choir. I was part of the SADI group. I was in the university band. I played organ. You won't believe this. I played organ in church literally about from standard four up until matric.
Shocking.
Yeah. And please don't ask me to play organ because I think I know about five chords. but more or less, you know, you winged your, you know, through the process. It was like a egg dance. But I've my entire high school career, I sang in the East Rand Youth Choir, and I went to Rand Afrikaans University in my first year, and I sang in the Rao Choir. And then I joined, I actually changed courses and I studied quantity surveying. And there, we took part in the Grahamstown Arts Festival. And I've been part of a cabaret group there. So wonderful experiences. And then my brother, I'm not sure if you know Herman van den Berg. We've been together at varsity. And me and Harry made music since varsity up until now. I play on all these CDs. I do not a lot, but a bit of guitar work on that and sometimes a bit of backing vocals. And then we had a very fortunate project that we did a few years ago. It's a local instrumental guitar album that's also available on iTunes. But the story behind the story was the theme was local is lekker. So everything was played with handmade guitars built by South African luthiers. The microphones were built in South Africa. The preamps and amplifiers, everything were built in South Africa. And we had the brilliant opportunity to record in Bob Studios, this dilapidated building outside, but to be inside. It was It's one of those bucket list items, you know, that you can tick. We've done that.
Wow. Okay. What about creating something? Because it's one thing, like in a choir, you sing something that's done already. The song's written. The parts are written. Everything's done already. But to create something new, to have something to say and be able, have the capacity to say it in a melody that people like enough to want to play somewhere, that's a daunting thing. So when was the first time that you started creating brand new stuff?
From school. I've always written songs, you know. Your typical thing, if you're in high school, you see this girl and you think, yeah, man, I absolutely adore this girl. And you're just too scared to tell her that, you know, and you think, you know, it's not going to work at all. So then you might write a song.
She can't say no for a song. Has to say yes. That's just so romantic.
Yes. Yeah, no. So I've written songs since, you know, since I was at school, basically. And always, I tell you, I must show you my phone. On my phone, there's a little recording app. I've got, I don't know, probably 200 little song ideas. And maybe very often it's just a little bit of a guitar line or a chord progression that I think is nice. So I've got a lot of that, but the major impact and drive for this song and two other songs that we've been busy with was, I don't, I'm sure you guys are probably aware of the Kersfees in Augustus, and it later became Kersfees in Africa, a show that was done in the Atterbury Theatre.
Yeah.
So Miller Krookamp is the driving force behind that project. And it was actually Miller who challenged me and said, you know what, we want to have a few original songs and I want you to write us a song. You know, and I'm always a sucker. I'm always very excited and says, yes, let's do it. You know, I'm in, you know, because I work well with deadlines and pressure. And then, you know, I thought I want to write a song that's modern and it must be relevant, you know. And yeah, the end of the story was that Reisna Arends was actually born due to that exercise.
Well, the song has now been sent out, so it's official. It is out there. But how many songs have you literally and officially published like this before?
That's the first one that I solely publish in my name as the artist. I've been involved with a lot of other projects and credits, you know, for playing guitar and backing vocals and stuff, and co-writing songs. But this is the first one that's been done. And I must say, my wife Anel also helped me with the lyrics a bit. I got stuck the one day and I was sitting outside at the table and I said to her, help for puppy, you know, we need to put some, you know, like an... there's like a deadlock. My ideas are finished now. I need you to help me with a few words. And she helped me with the lyrics.
Okay, but I'm now curious. Having been in the music industry for all of this time, having hundreds of song ideas on your phone just lying there, ready to be used by anything and anyone, why did it take you so long to get this far, to do something in your own name? You've got a lot to say, you as Van.
Yeah, Janine, my big passion from a music perspective is guitar. I absolutely adore playing guitar. I love it. I love it. It's my ultimate passion. And having said that, for me, it's the nicest thing to be in a band and just play nice lines and play chords. I live, you know, it really energizes me a lot. And a good harmony. I can tell you, there's an Afrikaans saying that says, jy kan my in 'n wip vang met 'n goeie harmonie. You know, it's like, and really, if I was a bird and you put a harmony, you could catch me every single time. I'll come back to the same place. But I never ever saw myself as a singer. And this is, everybody always laughs when I say that. I think of all the, I know a lot of music, you know, and I can play guitar solos from different songs that I know the exact notes to play when and where and where to come in the song. But the scary part is, I think I know 100% of the lyrics of probably three songs, and O Tante Kuba is one of them. So I've never worried about the words. I just want to hear the harmonies and the music. It's just weird. I'm weird in that way, I think.
Okay, so what's then convinced you? Because so you did this song and you did it for that project. Yeah. But to put it out there has got implications. I mean, now people are expecting to hear more, or for you to get out there and promote this thing. I mean, this is the music industry. It's gone through record companies and stuff. They don't just put stuff out there. So does this mean you're going to start doing more of this?
Absolutely. I just want to give you a bit more background about why the song actually happened. You know, obviously, we started recording for the Christmas in Africa project. And due to COVID, everything was shelved indefinitely. And nobody knows when we will pick that up again. And about 4 or 5 months ago, I talked to one of my great friends who's a producer in the industry. And I know, you know, times are tough for the artists and for the musicians. And I was just thinking, you know what? Maybe I'm sitting with a song. It's not done. Let's restart the process. Let's record it and send it out, because I really think it's relevant. I think there's a message and it's a prayer for hope in uncertain times. So we did this project, and the more Johan sent me like the first draft. And the next day, there's bass guitar that's been added, and there's live drums. And I must say, the musicians that were part of this recording, it's all live musicians. Hey? It wasn't samples and stuff like that.
Yeah.
brilliant, brilliant South African musicians. And every single time you send me a draft, I just get more and more excited. And then suddenly I felt, you know, okay, now I must put the vocal. So we did a basic vocal track, a guide track. And then I had to go into the studio and I thought, okay, this is now me. And I must say, to be able to record vocals with Johan Rotenbach, what a phenomenal pleasure.
And because daunting.
I mean, you know, I'm a guitar slinger. I just walk in there and I want to play guitar. And he said, no, you've got to sing this now. And I mean, simple things that he said to me, you know, we've done a few lines like two or three times. And he said, Vander, no. You must smile when you sing that line. I can hear in the music you're not smiling. You must smile. You know, little tips. It's incredible. So I was standing there with this smile on my face. And I must say, I can honestly hear the difference. It's incredible. You know, if you work with somebody that's actually got a lot of experience in this.
I want to give you the stage. So yeah, you've got the microphone. The whole country is listening. You've lived your life, loved, disappointed, victories and failures, everything that you've gone through, and you've learned a few things in life. So if you could now share, you've got the stage for 2 minutes and everybody's tuned into this radio station. What is it that you want to share with them from your heart, especially with your walk with Jesus, that you think that'll help?
Bob Carr wrote a song a few years ago, and one of the lyrics, that's one of the lines I remember. And he said, a saint is just a sinner who falls down and get up. Mm. So long and the short, you know, my walk with the Lord obviously is like any relationship. Sometimes I think it's going well. Sometimes I feel far. But for me, it's a question of, you know, when you fail, get back. We live in grace. We've been saved by grace. You can never earn your salvation. You know, for me, I'm so aware of the Lord's presence in my life, and daily I am aware of my shortcomings every single day. You know, that's a, and I mean, I'm vocal about that as well. I'm just a normal sinner saved by grace. But the good news is I can any moment during any day or week or year kneel before the Lord and come just sit at his feet and say, God, yeah, I am. I absolutely believe in the power and the blood of Jesus. You know, so that for me is also very special. Every morning before we go, you know, I have the privilege to pray for Anel and my daughter, Anjali. yeah, man, so I'm actually getting a bit emotional, but yeah, the Lord's grace is just so wonderful there.